Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Antigo to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday. I'm also going to be broadcasting this show via Facebook Live. So if you want to go ahead and tune in, please go ahead and tune in to Facebook Live on our WJJQ Facebook page. That is where I will be broadcasting also the Sports Q here tonight. Boy, we've got a lot to get into today. My goodness, this has been a hectic week. We've got a big Green Bay victory on Sunday, including coming back from down 17. We also happen to have the Milwaukee Brewers winning the National League Central last night. That's what I was going to leave with. And then today happened where we have to get into the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's jump right into it, shall we?
Holiday rips it away. 16 seconds to go to Giannis. Slam it! How about that?
All right, so let's go ahead and just jump right into it here. Big, big day for the Milwaukee Bucks, needless to say. The Bucks have essentially made probably the biggest trade in franchise history. Let's just go ahead and call it what it is. So let's go ahead and break this down, shall we? The Milwaukee Bucks have officially traded for Damian Lillard, Portland Trailblazers superstar. Now, again, there were a lot of talks with Damian Lillard as to where he would go. Where he would go, because Miami was viewed as a suitor, Philadelphia was, Boston was, Toronto was. Milwaukee was a team that, well, you know, they could string it together, they could surprise some people with a move. But ultimately, it was the Milwaukee Bucks that ended up making the deal. Now, let's go ahead and just break down this trade really quickly because there is still a lot to get into here with this. The trade details here for this, three teams are currently involved in this deal. So it's the Bucks, the Trailblazers, and the Phoenix Suns. They needed to get all three of these teams together in order to make it work. So the obvious one, Milwaukee gets Damian Lillard, and we'll get into what Lillard brings to the team in just a second. Portland gets a haul. Portland is the team that gets a haul here. Jrue Holiday is headed to Portland, so Holiday does get traded. So what you heard, that NBA Finals clip, Holiday is no longer a member of the team. He still provided, in my opinion, the biggest play of the Bucks season that night against Phoenix. Portland is also going to be getting DeAndre Ayton to Monte Kamara, who was just drafted into the draft this season. Also, the Bucks are going to be sending a first-round pick in 2029 and pick swaps in 2028 and 2030. In addition, Phoenix is going to be getting another Bucks player. That's Grayson Allen. Yusuf Nurkic from the Blazers, Nasir Little, and Keon Johnson. So the Bucks essentially have given up, if you put it all together, Grayson Allen, Jrue Holiday, and a first-round pick, plus the potential to swap two more for Damian Lillard. Now, I know that a lot of fans are excited. When I first heard this news, there's not a lot of things that leave me speechless. That particular one did. Honestly, it did, because you don't see Wisconsin teams go out and make a big splash via trade. We've seen teams make splashes with drafts before. The Packers drafting Jordan Love, the Brewers making a move to bring in Christian Yelich. There are a few of these splash trades that you can make an example of. Milwaukee obviously getting Yelich. Also free agency getting Lorenzo Cain to help spearhead the Brewers to contend for a World Series a few years ago. You also look at the fact that they traded CC Sabathia as well. The Bucks, by the way, were not even in this. The biggest trade that they made in franchise history was probably to bring in Jrue Holiday. And before that, it was to bring in Eric Bledsoe. The Bucks are becoming, right before our very eyes, an aggressive organization that wants to win now because you have arguably the best player in the NBA on the sidelines and on your team. Now, let me tell you what this means for Milwaukee. I don't know how long Giannis is going to stay with the Bucks. What I can tell you is Milwaukee is doing a fantastic effort to keep him here. And the reason why I say that is because there were obviously talks. He even said if the Bucks are not in a win-now mode, if they're not in the win-now mode, he will probably end up going elsewhere, which is understandable. Because if you're a superstar and you're the best player in the NBA, you want to play for a first-class organization. And I know that there are a few Bucks fans, including myself, that are hurt that Jrue Holiday and Grayson Allen are gone. Okay? There are fans that are hurt. And I have no doubt that Jrue Holiday being gone is going to hurt. He's probably going to get traded to another contender because Portland has now gone into full rebuilding mode. So he could end up in either Miami or Philadelphia when this is all said and done. But to get great players, sometimes you need to trade the good ones that you have. And the key thing to bring up, Jrue Holiday is still a very good two-way player, regardless of what you may think. He was a teammate of the year. He's an NBA champion. He was an all-star with the team. He was an all-defensive first team with this Bucks squad. And Grayson Allen was a very good 3-and-D player. The problem was that Allen was just too inconsistent. Period, plain and simple. So, Allen, good player. Holiday, very good player. They are not superstars. And I don't think the Bucks can win with the one superstar that they have. All due respect to Chris Middleton, he's a star, not a superstar. So, Grayson Allen and Jrue Holiday combined, just to give you the numbers here, they averaged 30 points per game between the two. Now, Holiday obviously averaged more because he was a starting point guard. Allen is a shooter. He's a shooter. He's a 3-and-D guy. Lillard last year averaged a career-high 32 points and 7 assists. Think about that for a second. 32 points and 7 assists. That is what Damian Lillard averaged last year for a Portland team that was towards the bottom half of the Western Conference. Now, let me tell you what Lillard brings to the table here. Damian Lillard spent 11 years in Portland. He was the sixth overall pick, out of Weber State. Now, if you don't know where Weber State is, that's in Ogden, Utah. Since he's come into the league, he was 2012-2013 first-team All-Rookie. He was also the 2013 Rookie of the Year. Seven-time All-Star, seven-time All-NBA player. His career averages 25 points, 6.5 assists a game, 46% shooting from the field, 37% from three-point range, and 89.5% from the free throw line. That's the big circle to draw around because Giannis struggled mightily from the line and Chris Middleton was hurt on and off all season long. And here's the thing also. Damian Lillard wanted to win now. The closest thing that he had to a superstar when he was in Portland was CJ McCollum. And McCollum is a good player. He's not a superstar. He's currently in, I believe, New Orleans. And he is performing well with that. And he performed well with that Pelicans team last year. He's a 20-point per game scorer, but he's offense only. He's not defense. Now, Damian Lillard brings a lot to the table. Lillard and Giannis together as a duo, this puts the Bucks right back at the top. In my opinion, right now, the Bucks are the favorite to win the NBA title with this move. You get Damian Lillard in there. You got rid of Holiday and Allen, which hurts. But you still keep Middleton. You still keep Bobby Portis. You still keep Brook Lopez. You still keep Pat Connaughton. You keep all of these core pieces that you had last year. And you have essentially brought in a superstar, a top 10 player arguably in the NBA today, to team up with arguably the best player in basketball. Look out, NBA. The Bucks may be coming. Now, The one caveat with this for this year, not talking long term, I'm talking this year. The one caveat is Adrian Griffin, the new head coach. How is he going to respond and how is he going to fit Lillard and Giannis into the rotation? Probably a lot of pick and rolls. That's going to open Lillard up. Damian Lillard has double-digit 50-point games in his career, and he also holds the NBA record for most three-pointers made in a playoff game. What more can you ask of a guy offensively? Now, defensively, they'll probably take a step back. But if you put Bobby Portis in the starting lineup with Middleton, Giannis, and Lopez, there will be enough defense to go around with the long arms and legs of that Bucks team. They're still freaky athletic. They are still very good defensively. Damian Lillard is clearly an upgrade from Jrue Holiday and Grayson Allen combined. The Milwaukee Bucks are now, as of we speak, the favorite to win the NBA title. And I don't know if they're done making a move, because I don't know who they're going to be plugging into that shooting guard spot. As of now, their top shooting guard on the roster is Pat Connaughton. They could maybe make another move, try and bring in a veteran to help him out. They brought in Malik Beasley already, but a lot to dive into as well. That's my take on the Damian Lillard situation. Go ahead, comment down below here on Facebook Live. Let me know what you think of the Damian Lillard trade for Milwaukee. Did you like it? Did you not like it? Let me know what you guys think. Coming up after the break, we'll break down the Brewers National League Central Division title clinching last night. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The team at Midtown Landscaping Services would like to thank all their customers that they worked with this season. They hope you're enjoying your new patio, walkway, fireplaces, and those retaining walls. If you're thinking of a project for next spring, give Josh a call today at 612-2626 for a free estimate and to discuss your plans. Then you're on the schedule for next season. Speaking of our next season, snow. Make sure you're ready for winter with a team at Midtown Plowing Services. Snow plowing, salting, and snow removal. Serving Tomahawk for over 20 years. Fully insured and ready to handle your snow plowing for commercial and residential customers. Call Midtown Plowing Services, 612-2626, so you're set for a snowy season. That's 612-2626 for Midtown Plowing Services.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grinnell invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. A lot to get into still. We also got the Milwaukee Brewers clinching the National League Central last night. Let's get right into it.
Here it comes. And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich.
All right, let's jump right in, shall we? So the Milwaukee Brewers, in the midst of all this, this is what I was going to lead off with before the Bucks trade with Damian Lillard happened. So, Milwaukee Brewers clinched the National League Central last night. It wasn't in the way that I think everyone anticipated, but it was still a clinch nonetheless. Brewers did lose to the Cardinals last night 4-1. They've now lost three straight. But the Cubs blowing a 6-0 lead to the Atlanta Braves gives the Milwaukee Brewers a National League Central Division title. Second time they've done it in 3 years and the third time in the last 6 years. So kudos to them. Brewers win the National League Central. They are now locked in to that number three seed that they'll be getting. So they'll be hosting a home wild card playoff series coming up next week. Now, they took 3-4 from St. Louis on the road. They lost 2-3 to Miami. They were happy to get help from Atlanta, needless to say. Anytime you come back from a 6-0 deficit, because I was trying to follow along when I was broadcasting the volleyball match last night in between breaks, and I saw the Cubs go up 6-0 over Atlanta, and I was surprised, but I also said that this is Atlanta we're talking about here, one of the best offensive teams, in all of baseball, if not the best, probably the best in this decade so far. And the Cubs have just absolutely collapsed. I mean, they have not performed well at all in the month of September. The only player that has performed well for them was Justin Steele, who pitched another gem last night, but the bullpen let him down. And I think the Brewers just wanted to clinch it at home. There's nothing like clinching a division title in front of your home fans. Clinching a playoff spot on the road was great, especially with Rowdy Tellez pitching against Miami in the final inning. But the thing is, even though the Brewers won the National League Central, they've now lost three straight. Get it corrected. They've got the Cardinals tonight. Wade Miley is on the mound for the crew. Just continue to win series. Because what would be better for Milwaukee with the National League Central already clinched? To knock the Cubs out of the postseason. All right? Just to knock the Cubs out of the postseason. Now, listen. They have 5 games left in the regular season starting tonight. They have 2 against the Cardinals, 3 against the Cubs. The Cubs are going to be fighting for a playoff spot. And now we go to the playoff scenarios that everyone has. So, the National League is pretty much all put together. The Atlanta Braves will have the number one seed. The Los Angeles Dodgers have the number two seed. The Brewers have the three seed. And the Phillies have the four seed. For the National League, Atlanta and Los Angeles, they already have first round byes. That can't be changed. The Brewers have the number three seed. That cannot be changed. The Brewers will have 5 potential opponents likely in their first-round playoff series. Cubs are one of them, Arizona, Miami, Cincinnati, and the longest shot, San Diego. Philadelphia is now, I think, locked into the fourth seed at this point. Same 5 potential opponents as Milwaukee. There are 5 teams that are going to be fighting for 2 wild-card spots. Currently, Arizona has the White Sox and Houston. The Cubs have Atlanta and at Milwaukee on the road. So they have a murderer's row to get through just to get into the postseason. The Marlins have the Mets and Pittsburgh on the road. And they had a doubleheader today. Right now, as we speak, that is the easiest schedule. Cincinnati's got a pretty easy schedule, but they've been inconsistent. They're in Cleveland and in St. Louis. And San Diego is in San Francisco and at the White Sox as well. So that's what it is for the National League. For the American League, a lot more still to figure out. Baltimore and Tampa Bay are going to be fighting for the American League East. One of those teams is going to win the division. Both of them are already in the postseason. Both of them have clinched playoff spots. So those two teams will have either the 1 or the 4 seed, depending on what you look at. Baltimore and Tampa Bay are fighting for the American League East. Twins clinch the American League Central. They're going to be locked into the 3 seed, I think, regardless. And you got a 3-team battle currently in the American League West between Texas, Houston, and Seattle. Baltimore and Tampa Bay, again, fighting for the American League East title. Baltimore leads by 2.5 games. Minnesota won the American League Central, likely going to be the 3 seed. Same scenario as the Brewers. Texas, Houston, and Seattle are all fighting for the American League West. Texas currently 88-69, leading the division. They've got the Angels, and they've got Seattle. That series is going to be big down the stretch for the American League. For Houston, you got 2.5 games behind Texas there in Seattle and at Arizona. No cakewalk by any stretch of the imagination. Seattle has Houston and Texas, so Seattle needs to win both of their series in order to get in. Wildcard spots are a cluster because you've got Toronto, Houston, and Seattle for the final 2 wildcard spots. Baltimore and Tampa Bay will likely be the number 1 and number 4 seeds. It's a matter of where. So let's take a look now at Brewers' potential playoff opponents. Right now, they currently have 5, as we said. San Diego, I think, is going to be a long shot, regardless, because the Giants were eliminated before the Padres, and the Padres seem like that they've been going back from the ground up ever since September rolled around. And they've been fighting hard, but it just took them throughout the whole season to start playing their best ball. The Marlins would be the first potential opponent. They currently, the Brewers have a 4-3 record against them. And their best player, by the way, Luis Arias. What hurts them is that Sandy Alcantara, who is the Cy Young Award winner last year, is gone for the rest of the year. Brewers were 5-5 against the Cubs this season, 10-3 against the Reds. Those are other two potential opponents. But I always take division opponents with a slight because they know each other so well, you never know which way it's going to pan out. The team that scares me the most for the Brewers would be Arizona. Here's why. Even though Arizona isn't really, really strong offensively, they have the pitching staff that can combat with the Brewers in a three-game set. Now, the Brewers have arguably the best three pitchers, the best 1-2-3 pitchers in all of baseball, because all three of them could be aces on one particular team, depending on where they are. Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta. Arizona has Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, who are two of the better pitchers in the National League right now as we speak. In my opinion, those kinds of games, that is going to be something to pay attention to. Because if it comes down to a pitching duel, you probably would trust Arizona's offense more than you would trust Milwaukee's at this point, even though the Brewers have performed a lot better offensively in the second half of the season than the first half. But Arizona's been more consistent offensively throughout the season. Something to keep in mind as we start to head into October baseball. Brewers have two more games with the Cardinals, then they have a three-game set at home with the Cubs. And we'll get underway on Friday, and then after that, playoff baseball, October baseball is here. We're going to go ahead and take another break. On the other side, we'll go over some hatchet highlights from Tomahawks football game against Crivets. You're listening to The Sports Q here on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is The Sports Q on WJJQ.
The fall colors sure are beautiful here, Amy.
Easy for you to say, Greg. You're not the one raking up the leaves around the station.
Well, that's an easy fix. Let's run over to Lincoln County Cycles and pick out a leaf collection system, bagger, or mulching kit that they have in stock for the Cub Cadet.
We might have to add a lawn sweeper, chipper, or lawn pushback to the station garage, too. Mike and the team at Lincoln County Cycles will know just what this lawn diva will need to get the job done and save on my back.
As long as we're there, we should get prepared for that four-letter word, Amy, coming soon.
I hate to think snow is on the way, but you're right, Greg. Lincoln County Cycle has a full stock showroom of Cub Cadet snowblowers for jobs big and small, like our sidewalk.
We better get down to Lincoln County Cycle so you can get those leaves picked up with ease, Amy, and I can prepare for the upcoming winter season.
Lincoln County Cycles open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to noon. Mike and the team, thank you for shopping locally. Call 453-2300 for Lincoln County Cycles.
All right, Amy, get those leaves taken care of now.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day so far today. Currently 5:56. Let's now get into some hatchet highlights, shall we? Tomahawk football played a thrilling game against Crivets last Friday. And boy, it went all the way down to the wire once again. This Tomahawk team has proven to be very, very gritty and very, very tough. They just need to learn how to win these close games. They took on Crivets this past Friday. Caleb Dickens got the scoring started in the first quarter. Second down and goal now for Tomahawk from the 5. I formation set. Riley takes fullback dive. Caleb Dickens up the middle, fighting his way. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Tomahawk. Caleb Dickens with a 5-yard run. And the hatchet strike first on Youth Night. It's 6-0, 4:48 to go, first quarter. And Tomahawk went up 7-0 in the second quarter. Tomahawk would get a field goal from Wally Horbick of 27 yards. And Crivets would get a touchdown right before halftime. with Jackson Flowers catching a 14-yard pass from Claver. And the quarterback change was made as Rex Riley moved to running back due to his shoulder injury. Braden Larson took over at quarterback, and Rex Riley wasted no time getting his first rushing touchdown of the night. Second and 9 now for the Hatchets from the Crivets 40-yard line. Receiver out to the left, two tight ends out to the right. Rex Riley again in the backfield, I formation. Braden Larson under center. He'll take hand off. Rex Riley off the right side. He's got a hole across the 35. Cuts back across 30. Gets by Warner. 25-20. Riley to the 10. 5. Touchdown. Tomahawk. Rex Riley with a 40-yard touchdown run. And the Hatchets go up 16-7 with 9:06 to go in the third quarter. How do you do, Rex Riley? After Tomahawk went up 17-7, Crivets responded with two touchdown drives in the third quarter, including one as the third quarter horn sounded to make it 21-17 Crivets. And then early in the fourth quarter, Braden Larson connected on his second passing touchdown of the season. This one a bomb to Jonah Dickens. So let's see what they do here. They are going to line up in the shotgun again. Two receivers out to the right, wing back to the left. Larson and Riley in the backfield. Larson waiting in the shotgun. Braden is going to take. He is going to throw this time on play action. Going to take a shot downfield. Jonah Dickens is open. Makes the catch in stride. Dickens across midfield. Jonah Dickens is gone. Secretary at the Belmont. They will not catch him. Touchdown, Jonah Dickens. 76 yards. Hatchets take the lead with 10:35 to go.
That one make the score 24-20. Crivets would have a long drive that ended in a field goal ultimately to tie to 24. Wally Horabick's 32-yard field goal to give Tomahawk the win was blocked. Game went into overtime. Second straight home game. The Hatchets have been in overtime. And Rex Riley got the scoring started in OT with his second touchdown run of the night.
Braden Larson under center. I formation set again. Zach Germano, lone receiver out to the right. Two tight ends to the left. Larson under center, Dickens and Riley in the backfield. The take, handoff, Rex Riley walking in! Touchdown, Tomahawk! Rex Riley with a 3-yard touchdown run, his second of the night, and the Hatchets reclaim the lead. It's 30-24.
The game would ultimately go into double overtime, but Crivets ended up getting the victory 38-30 in double overtime after stopping Tomahawk on fourth and long in the second overtime. Hatchets take on Coleman in the homecoming football game coming up this Friday here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Matt Turkowitz will join me in the broadcast booth that night. That's going to do it for the first half of the sports queue. On the flip side, we're going to have Hatchet volley, girls swim coach, Melissa Neiman, stop by to talk about the season. We'll also hear from Rashawn Gary, Jordan Love, and Coach Matt LaFleur about Green Bay's victory over New Orleans. And we will also preview Green Bay's Thursday night game coming up tomorrow night against the Lions. Plus, I'll be making my NFL Week 4 predictions and give you the latest on the injury to Ches Malusi. All of that is coming up on the Sports Queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. It is 58 degrees. Rain still falling here at our WJJQ studios. It's now time for CBS News.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Queue on WJJQ.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Republicans running for president in 2024 are gearing up for their second primary debate now in Southern California. CBS's Allison Keyes has a preview for us.
Among the seven on stage will be Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. They are running second and third to former President Trump in some polls, but CBS News Director of Elections and Surveys Anthony Salvanto says voters want to hear about the economy.
They would like to hear specific plans for combating inflation.
Former President Trump will be in Michigan where auto workers are striking and on Monday called debates stupid.
Trump's missed both of the GOP primary debates so far. Republicans are running the clock with just 3 days to go before the government shuts down, cutting off access to key resources for millions of Americans. President Biden says a shutdown is not inevitable.
So the American people need our Republican friends in the House of Representatives to do their job. Fund the government.
New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, his wife, and two businessmen the couple is accused of taking bribes from were all arraigned today in federal court in New York. WCBS TV's Christine Sloan was there.
A sitting senator answering to a three-count indictment, including bribery charges. None of the defendants really spoke, but all of them saying not guilty, pleading not guilty. They are all being allowed to be released on their own, as it's called, personal recognizance bond. The senator has a $100,000 bond.
It's still unclear, though, when a trial could start, but if convicted, Menendez faces decades in prison. All liquor stores were closed today across Philadelphia, where police say a flash mob of about 100 people looted and vandalized stores last night. Philly Mayor Jim Kenney.
This is not shoplifting. This is not somebody stealing a loaf of bread to feed their kids. These are people who are damaging stores, small businesses, a lot of minority small businesses. This is not fair. They shouldn't have to live with this.
Police arrested 52 people for that crime spree. Three were just kids. A NASA astronaut and two Russians are back on Earth after getting stuck in space for just over a year.
You look very well.
Thank you. It's good to be home.
That is Frank Rubio, who was up in orbit a record 371 days. The trio had to wait on a replacement Soyuz capsule. Their original was hit by space junk and leaked all of its coolant. Merriam-Webster just added about 700 new definitions to its dictionary. Among them, thirst trap, dad bod, chef's kiss, beast mode, that's going really hard or all out on something, and Riz, short for charisma. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Is it just me, or is it always a struggle to take a good family pic? Between getting everyone to smile and finding the right outfits, it's not easy. Luckily, I shopped Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and got 20% off styles that are perfect for our upcoming photos, and the rest of fall, too. I got myself a flannel for $27.99, my daughter jeans for $24.99, and more, which put a smile on my face. Now to get one on everyone else's. Select styles. Offer ends October 1st. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Nissan has a car for everyone, for every driver who wants more, like more adventure when driving on or off-road, more zip when driving around town, and more turbocharged excitement for a rush of adrenaline. At Nissan, more is all they do. From thrilling sports cars to exciting EVs to capable pickups and agile sedans, Nissan's diverse lineup can help anyone find something for their more. Find your more at NissanUSA.com. That's NissanUSA.com.
A TV show's off the hook.
A judge has dismissed a lawsuit against the creators of a fake firm accused of defaming a real-life company with the same name.
This place, they're not exactly what you call security conscious.
Better Call Saul's Sweet Liberty Tax Services, run by a husband and wife team of crooks, shared the same name with a real-life tax prep business with 2,500 locations across the U.S. and Canada. It sued the show, claiming copyright infringement. AMC said the Kettleman's company was only guilty of artistic license. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
New court documents show Cher's accused of kidnapping her son. Elijah Blue Almond's estranged wife filed for divorce recently and claims the couple was in a hotel room trying to reconcile last year when four men barged in and took him. One of the men allegedly said they'd been hired by the singer. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6.05 p.m. Good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook, 59 degrees here at our WJJQ studios. Here's Tony Schumacher with your weather forecast. Tony?
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, mostly cloudy, low temperature 51. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy to patchy sunshine, high in the upper 60s, southeast wind between 5 and 10. Friday, partly sunny and mild, high 73. Saturday, chance of a couple of showers or storms in the morning, then partly sunny later, high in the mid-70s. Sunday, partly cloudy and summer like, high of 80. And Monday, partly cloudy, still unseasonably warm, the high 81. We could be in the low 80s again for Tuesday before some rain moves in Tuesday night or Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Big, big, big day, obviously, across Wisconsin sports. Let's take a little bit of a break from the craziness that has been Wisconsin sports over the past week with the Brewers win the National League Central, the Bucks trading Damian Lillard. We'll also get into Green Bay's win over New Orleans and preview their matchup with the Saints.
But currently joining me is Hatchet Girls Swim Coach Miss Melissa Neiman. Melissa, welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you again for having me.
Absolutely.
We always appreciate your support.
Absolutely. Let's go ahead and jump right into this here. We're now at the halfway point of the season. Hard to believe it. What have you thought of your team's performance so far this year?
Our team is doing really well. Right now we're in our midseason, so we're packing on a lot of yardage.
Yep.
We're kind of over the hump of soreness. It's still there. They're still getting sore after practice, but we're starting to still maintain our time drops at meets, which has been fantastic. But yeah, we're nearing taper here in probably 3 weeks, end of the season. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, it really is. So obviously your team is now currently 2-2 in dual meets to begin the season. Last couple of meets, you went up against some really stiff competition, Medford and Rhinelander. How well has your team done against this stiff competition?
You know, we know swimming against Rhinelander is always going to be tough. They have some really, really amazing swimmers. They are, they're swimming against Division I teams every weekend and placing third. You know, I didn't go in there thinking that we were going to win that, but my girls came out dropping time. That's all I wanted to see, and they came through, and they were so positive that whole meet. They kept smiling and cheering each other on. It was fantastic to see.
So, obviously, as we're talking here with Hatchet Girls Swim Coach Melissa Neiman here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Melissa, what do you think has been the biggest reason why your team has been competing at such a high level so far in the GNC?
You know, they're a great group of girls, and they rally for each other, at practice. You'll hear them. Everybody does this set. You know, they're constantly pushing each other. Sometimes you hear them get a little snippy at each other, like, hey, I saw you. You might have skipped some. Get back in there and push yourself. So Maddie List as a captain has been really pushing their girls to get in there and push themselves harder.
Let's go ahead and expand a little bit more on the underclass women that you have on this team. Girls like Morgan Kretschmar, Emma Hoff, Lily Krieger, Dorian Stefan. I apologize if I'm missing any names. How have they responded to being a part of this team and responding also to the captains of Paige to Keep and Maddie List?
They've been doing really well. I have to say Dorian has been just amazing. They were a team manager last year and got the bug to come back to swimming, dropping time like crazy. 20 seconds in the 500 free, 7 to 10 seconds in the 200. I have to give a shout out. We have a brand new freshman, never swam a day in her life. I saw her at open swim last year and was like, hey, have you ever thought about swimming? She joined, swam her first 100 freestyle in Rhinelander. She didn't make every turn, but she finished the race. That's all I wanted to see, and she's killing it in practice.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
That's very great to hear. Talking here with Tomahawk Hatchet Girls Swim Coach Melissa Neiman here in the Sports Q on WJJQ. As we stated at the top, Melissa, hard to believe that it's already the halfway point of the season. What are you going to be looking for in the second half of the year?
Consistency. You know, we have to keep pushing ourselves. We can't get complacent at practice. We have to keep pushing this yardage. I know that they're getting tired, and swimming is a lot of repetition. We do a lot of the same sets over and over again, but that's swimming. We repeat what we do a lot, but we have to keep pushing and staying strong. Colby's going to be hard for us tomorrow. They have some really good, possibly state qualifying swimmers. They have, I think her name is Madeline Schroffenagel, amazing breaststroker. It's going to be good for Morgan Kretschmar to have her swimming next to her to push her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about that breaststroke race.
Yeah, let's go ahead and expand further on your matchup with Colby tomorrow. As you mentioned, this is a very good team. Mm-hmm. Your team is going to be back at the Hatchet Pool, which I'm sure will be nice as well.
Homecoming week at home. Everybody loves it.
Absolutely. What else will you be looking for from this team tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'd like to see their relay is about 2 seconds faster than ours, and I'd like to see us beat them in that medley relay. Our 200 freestyle, another close race, but we're going to be without one of our swimmers due to injury. I have to cut her back a little bit because I'm going to need her in the back half of the season, so that might cost us some points, but that's all right. I know that I'm going to push freshman Kaylee Roberts into some relays tomorrow that typically she wouldn't be in. These are A relays, and I was pushing her really hard at practice today, working on some technique and some speed work. I think she's going to be really good. She's going to do awesome tomorrow in that relay.
That's great. Melissa, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Well, I do want to give a shout out. Many of you know I'm the middle school secretary. I have to give a shout out to our 7th and 8th grade football teams.
Yes.
Yes, I have to. I know that you have me on here for swimming, but being in the middle school, man, that eighth grade football team never lost a game.
Yeah, Dewey Riley Sr. has been updating me on scores as well throughout the course of the season, and the future is very bright for that football team.
I have to say, great job to my middle school boys and my cross country girls, seventh and eighth grade. Man, they are doing good, the boys. So shout out to my middle school athletes. I'm super proud of you on your homecoming week as well.
Hey, middle school kids, if you're listening. It's good to be king. There you go. Tomahawks next duel meet tomorrow against Colby Races. Begin at 5:30. Melissa Neiman, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
All right, coming up after the break, we'll break down Green Bay's victory over New Orleans and talk about their Thursday night matchup with Detroit. You're tuned into the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Find sugar, spice, and everything nice blended into Dairy Queen's Snickerdoodle Cookie Dough Blizzard. While this flavor is a hit year-round, something about fall calls for a cinnamon sugar combo. Brought back by popular demand, this limited-time treat mixes chewy chunks of Snickerdoodle Cookie Dough and flavors of cinnamon and sugar into their world-famous vanilla soft serve. There's a reason why this is a top requested flavor. Dairy Queen, open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., located on North 4th Street, overlooking the Wisconsin River.
It is Ram Power Days and Egg Season at Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's Northeast Side. Take advantage of over 19 new 2023 Ram heavy-duty trucks. Receive $1,500 bonus cash on new 2023 Ram 2500 models and an additional $1,000 on select inventory units. On-the-job rebates still apply for small business owners. Also, during Ram Power Days, new 2023 Ram 1500 Bighorn and Laramie units receive up to $4,000 in total incentives or 2.9% for 72 months. During Jeep Adventure Days, new 2023 Jeep Grand Cherokee L Limited get up to $5,500 in incentives. The popular 10% off MSRP promotion on new 2023 Jeep Compass and Renegade has been extended. The new 2023 Gladiators are now included in the 10% off MSRP. Lots going on during the Ram Power Days and Jeep Adventure Days at Brickner Motors on Little Chicago's Northeast Side. Just minutes from Wausau, Merrill, and Medford. Financed with Chrysler Capital to approved credit. See dealer for details.
Foley's Tree Service, caring for your trees since 1980. This is Ted Foley, ISA certified arborist and second generation family owner. Our employees are trained and educated professionals who respect your property as if it was their own. Whether it is tree removals, pruning, stump grinding, lot and land clearing, tree preservation, or even storm damage cleanup, we are here when you need us. Call us at 715-453-2407 or for our Minocqua listeners, 715-358-2406. Check us out online at foleystreeservice.com. Foley's Tree Service, fully insured and offering free estimates.
Welcome back to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you at our WJJQ studios. And boy, it was a very hectic week, as I've stated before, for the Wisconsin sports scene. We talked about Damian Lillard coming to Milwaukee. We talked about the Brewers clinching the National League Central. Let's finally get into some football, shall we? Here we go.
And an opening day dagger!
I also have a couple of questions for you Packer fans. If I may.
Do you believe in love?
Because I certainly do. What about love? The Green Bay Packers coming back to defeat the New Orleans Saints 18-17 this past Sunday at Lambeau Field. I had the opportunity to be there at the game. It was very, very, I guess you could say concerning that they were down 17-0 against this particular Saints team. The Saints team that was down their top two running backs, they were down. They were still unhealthy on the defensive side of the ball. Then Derek Carr went down. One of the people that was sitting next to me was an NFL photographer. And I remember her telling me that this is going to be a bad press conference with them trailing 17-0 because you don't know how everybody's going to work. But Green Bay was able to come back thanks to Jordan Love.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way.
Jordan Love coming back. Packers end up scoring 18 points in the fourth quarter, tied for the largest fourth quarter comeback in NFL history. Jordan Love, 22 of 44, 259 yards through the air, a touchdown, an interception. Also had 9 carries for 39 yards, was Green Bay's leading rusher, including a score. This is what Jordan Love, had to say after his team's performance.
Yeah, no, it's been good. I mean, we've got a lot of reps going through, OTAs, training camp, just with everybody. So, the mindset when guys are down is always next man up. And, credit to all those guys that stepped up, they made some huge plays right there, and it's never going to be perfect, but those guys stepped up and did big things today. It's that next man up, man.
And the thing that I do want to point out also with Love is that he never lost his composure. Even down 17 points in the fourth quarter, he was calm, cool, and collected. For a young team to complete this kind of comeback, this will help them immensely in the long run, regardless of who is out there. The quiet leader continues to prove doubters wrong. Through 3 starts, Jordan Love has 7 touchdown passes, 1 interception. He's only been sacked 3 times. The offensive line has performed incredibly well so far this season, and the defense stepped up when they needed to. It wasn't a perfect performance by them, but it was still good enough to get them home. Rashawn Gary had a big night with 3 sacks. Here's what he had to say about Green Bay getting the win without Jaire Alexander.
It was important, having guys out like Jai, that's a major impact, to this defense that helped us tremendously. Having a guy like that out, he had no choice but to step up, and that's what everybody did. One thing about this group is we understand the standard. We understand what it's like to play at a high level. We just got to be consistent.
Now, regardless, them being without the Saints, that is, being without Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams, they still held the Saints to 77 yards, which is a far cry from the 224 they allowed to Atlanta the previous week. So that's definitely something to rely on. And the defense gave up just 10 points. People forget that. The defense gave up 10 points, all of them in the first half. An 8-yard touchdown pass to former Packer Jimmy Graham, and also a field goal at the end of the first half. The big thing that really, really threw this game for a loop was the 77-yard punt return by Rashid Shaheed in the second quarter. The Packers were able to get this win without Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, David Bakhtiari, Elgton Jenkins, Jaire Alexander, and Devondre Campbell, who left with an ankle injury, and he's not going to be playing tomorrow night either. Neither is Bakhtiari or Jenkins. So you already got 3 players that are going to be out tomorrow. Rashawn Gary again, 3 sacks, career high. Big plays were made. Every single young Packer took their turn making big plays. Romeo Doubs, that catch in the end zone for the go-ahead score, that it was a great throw by Love and a great catch by Romeo Doubs. Couldn't put it on the dot better. Luke Musgrave had some big-time plays. Dontavian Wicks had a couple of key third-down conversions. Jaden Reed with a great catch on the final go-ahead drive. All of them made big plays. Now, again, hopefully they can get as healthy as they can for the Lions tomorrow. They're already going to be without Bakhtiari, Jenkins, and Campbell. Christian Watson, Aaron Jones, and Jaire Alexander all questionable. Watson and Jones are trending towards going. Jaire Alexander is still a question mark. Don't know what's going to happen. Now, a lot of people will probably say the Saints probably would have won had Derek Carr been in the whole game. You may be right. I mean, you may be right. I may be crazy, but I just may be the lunatic you're looking for. Because Jameis Winston came in, but the biggest reason why the Saints lost that game is because Dennis Allen kept passing the ball when he should have been running it. Green Bay got this victory. They took it from the Saints, regardless of what you may think. Jordan Love, yes, he threw his first interception at Lambeau Field and his first pick of the season. That, to me, was a route that was kind of gone wrong. I think that there was a route that was designed to be like that, like a deep go route, like we saw from Rodgers consistently throughout his time there. And I believe the receiver, I can't remember who it was, just got jammed at the line of scrimmage. Again, young quarterback, it's going to happen. Packers got Detroit coming up tomorrow night. We'll have the broadcast for you here on WJJQ. Let's quickly go over now the scores and results from this past week in football, shall we? The San Francisco 49ers, knocking off the New York Giants 30-12. Again, Packers over Saints 18-17. Indianapolis with an upset victory over Baltimore.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
22-19 in overtime. Detroit over Atlanta 20-6. And then, of course, the shocker was Miami hanging 70 on Denver.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I am not crazy. 70-20, Miami got the win. Buffalo over Washington, 37-3. New England over the Jets, 15-10. Chargers over the Vikings, 28-24. Houston over Jacksonville, that was a bit of a surprise also, 37-17. Cleveland over Tennessee, 27-3. Seattle over Carolina, 37-27. Kansas City thumping Chicago, 41-10. Arizona upsetting Dallas, 28-16. Pittsburgh over Las Vegas, 23-18. Philadelphia over Tampa Bay, 25-11. And Cincinnati over the Rams, 19-16. And listen, I went 12-4 again this week. That's another successful week for me. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. So that's a quick look at the NFL. When we come back, we'll dive into college sports. We'll break down the Ches Malusi injury and give you the results of the top 25 games. We'll go ahead and close out this segment with a quote from Matt LaFleur as they get set for the Lions tomorrow night. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
There's a lot to correct. There's a lot to correct. Certainly, I mean, Detroit's one, in my opinion, they're one of the more talented teams. They're one of the better teams in our league, certainly in our division, our conference. They're a pretty football team. I think Dan Campbell's done a hell of a job there. I think they brought in a lot of good players. So it's going to be a great challenge for us on a short week. And we're going to have to try to get everybody back as soon as possible. So we're missing some big-time players.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
John J. Shuni Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Shuni Construction of Tomahawk.
Premier Heating and Cooling, your local Lennox dealer, wants to make people feel comfortable in their homes and businesses. Lennox makes the air cooler, warmer, drier, cleaner, and better with innovative systems that are exceptionally quiet and energy efficient to save you money. Ask about the buy one and get one free special on a Wi-Fi enabled thermostat with the qualifying purchase of a heating and cooling unit. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. For a free estimate for your Lennox heating and air conditioning needs and great service after the sale, with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this wonderful Wednesday evening. And right here, right now, we're going to break down some Badgers for you, shall we? Nothing wrong with a little bit of Hank Williams there, but what was wrong was Ches Malusi's injury for Wisconsin over the weekend. Badgers ended up defeating the Boilermakers 38-17. Malusi is out with a fractured fibula. He's done for the year. It's one of those ones where if you rewatched it, honestly, you had to have had a strong stomach. Period, plain and simple. I didn't get the chance to see it live because obviously I was calling the Tomahawk football game against Crivets Friday night. He finishes the year with 307 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns. Still unfortunate. Since it is early in the season, again, this goes back to a lot of guys coming back because they want to use their eligibility up. And sometimes it just doesn't have a happy ending. I hate to say it. I really, really hate to say it. It just doesn't have a happy ending. It's sad. Well, Braylon Allen and Tanner Mordecai ended up rushing Wisconsin to victory. Allen was able to run for 116 yards and two scores. He's probably going to be getting a lot of touches now with Malusi, with essentially Malusi out for the year. Tanner Mordecai, 218 total yards, two touchdowns, both of them on the ground in the victory. Again, Wisconsin was able to get away with a pretty ugly win, all things considered, against Purdue. They got a week off also to essentially correct everything and get prepared for their next matchup, which is against Rutgers on Saturday the 7th. Now, here's the thing that concerned me the most, though. The defense for Wisconsin. And you don't hear me say that often. Their pass defense was pretty good. They forced a couple turnovers, held Hudson Carr in check, but they gave up 194 rushing yards to Purdue. Purdue essentially matched them blow for blow, and it came down to turnovers and who would make the biggest mistake and who would cash in on their drives. And with Wisconsin being the better team, they were able to cash in. Now, the Badgers ran for 195 yards with Malusi getting hurt in the fourth quarter, which is good. It's not great. It is not great. Badgers are 3-1, but we can say as Badger fans that it is an ugly 3-1, needless to say. Badgers have defeated Buffalo, Georgia Southern, and Purdue all by 21 points. Still won. And they lost to Washington State. Washington State right now, I think, is a top 20 team in the country as we speak at this moment in time. So when you look at this Wisconsin team, there's still a lot that needs to be corrected. Luke Fickell was brought in to save the day. Tanner Mordecai was brought in to be a veteran quarterback and know the ropes. And all these transfers were brought in. Sometimes it takes a while, again, to bring chemistry and receivers together. And that's essentially what is going on with Wisconsin. They just don't have the chemistry right now. They don't. And that's not anyone's fault. Some teams mesh better than others. That's just what it is. Now, again, they have the bye week. They have an extra week to prepare for the rest of their schedule. Their next three opponents, I think, are all games Wisconsin should win. They've got Rutgers and Iowa at home. Iowa's still very good defensively. Offensively, obviously, they're suspect. And then they go to Illinois to try and get revenge on Brett Bielema, which they should do. I don't know if they will, but they should do. And as we speak right now, looking at the rest of the season, because you've got Indiana, Northwestern, Nebraska, Minnesota. Minnesota's still a respectable team as well, even though they lost to Northwestern last week. The one tough game that Wisconsin is going to have to climb the hill for, so to speak, is against Ohio State Halloween weekend. That's going to be the big one. Badgers haven't beaten Ohio State since 2010, that David Gilreath 97-yard kick return to open it up. And before you blinked, it was also 21-0 by the time the second quarter happened. So right now, Wisconsin is in a little bit of a shaky spot, but it can be corrected. Luke Fickell, get this team coached up. Phil Longo, get this offense right. And again, Wisconsin should be able to find a way to come away with some big wins coming up this season. You're currently tuned into the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Before we go, we'll go ahead and give you the results from Top 25 last week and also give you a preview of what to expect for Top 25 this week. Number 19, Oklahoma over Cincinnati, 20-6. Number 4, Florida State edging out Clemson, 31-24 in overtime. Number 2, Michigan over Rutgers, 31-7. Number 20, Miami over Temple, 41-7. Number 13, Alabama getting another win, knocking off number 15, Ole Miss, for 24-10. Biggest drubbing of the weekend, number 10, Oregon over 19, Colorado, 42-6. Number 18, Duke over UConn, 41-7. Number 11, Utah over number 22, UCLA, 14-7. Number 23, Tennessee over UTSA, 45-14. Number 12, LSU, giving a bit of a run with Arkansas, still came away with the win, 34-31. Number 25, Florida over Charlotte, 22-7. Number 21, Washington State knocking off number 14, Oregon State in a close one, 38-35. Number 1, Georgia over UAB, 49-21. Number 3, Texas over Baylor, 38-6. And number 6, Ohio State over number 9, Notre Dame. That was a great game to watch, 17-14. Number 7, Penn State shuts out number 24, Iowa, 31-0. Number 17, North Carolina, 41, Pitt, 24. Number 8, Washington over Cal, 59-32. And number 5, USC over Arizona State, 42-28. Top 25 showdowns coming up this week. We got a top 20 showdown coming up Friday night. Number 19, Oregon State at Utah. That will be a good one. Utah now ranked number 10. Colorado at home against number 8, USC. Number 7, Penn State at Northwestern. Number 22, Florida at Kentucky. Number 2, Michigan at Nebraska. Number 3, Texas at home. Kansas is now ranked in the top 25. Another basketball school's in the top 25. They're ranked number 24. Number 1, Georgia at Auburn. Number 23, Missouri. Getting into the top 25, they take on Vanderbilt. Number 13, LSU at number 20, Ole Miss. That'll be a good one as well. Number 9, Oregon at Stanford. Number 14, Oklahoma against Iowa State. Number 21, Tennessee against South Carolina. To me, the matchup of the week is number 11, Notre Dame at number 17, Duke. Number 12, Alabama's at Mississippi State. Number 7, Washington's at Arizona. And number 25, Fresno State. Fresno State into the top 25. They've got Nevada at home coming up on Saturday. That's a look at college football across the nation here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, the Sports Q. Coming up after the break, we will have our weather forecast. And then after that, we got week 4 NFL predictions. Stay tuned. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods, this is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, two great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Prices so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
The Auto House in Tomahawk is your trusted destination for top-of-the-line vehicles and exceptional service. They're here to help you get ready for fall and winter driving season, and yes, it's that time of year. With a rich history, Gary and his Auto House family have been offering service to our Northwoods communities for over 40 years, and you're invited to check out the Auto House inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. Cars, trucks, SUVs, there's over 40 units to choose from. That makes your journey to find the perfect vehicle enjoyable, and more importantly, stress-free. If you need a temporary ride, Gary has you covered with a selection of rental vehicles, and if you need service on your existing vehicle or to get it ready for fall and winter driving, make an appointment with the ASC certified technician at the Auto House, doing business the right way. The Auto House on North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net at the Auto House in Tomahawk.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy tonight with lows around 51. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 67. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows level off around 50. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 58 degrees.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Without further ado, let's now dive into our Week 4 NFL predictions, shall we? All right, let's go ahead and waste no time jumping in. Be sure to get your entries in for the Pro Prediction Contest. Entries are due tomorrow before the Thursday night game. Let's talk about it. Packers and Lions. We'll have the broadcast for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Coverage begins tomorrow at 6:30. Kickoff at 7:15. I know the Packers are banged up, but this to me is an evenly matched game between two very good teams that are probably going to be at the top of the NFC North and fight for that division title when it's all said and done with how Minnesota and Chicago plays out. I got Green Bay winning by 1 point. It'll take a last-minute touchdown again from Jordan Love tomorrow night, 21-20. Jacksonville and Atlanta. This game is going to be in London. That game will be broadcast on ESPN Plus. Get your coffee and your Bloody Marys ready. That'll be at 8:30 Sunday morning. I got Jacksonville winning this game. I think that Atlanta is still a good running team, but I think Jacksonville's offense will get right eventually. I got Jacksonville winning 28-21. Rams at the Colts. Again, Anthony Richardson still a question mark heading into this one. Rams coming off a tough loss at Cincinnati. I think they bounce back and get the win, 31-21. Buffalo and Miami. This one's going to be a fun one, folks. It's going to come down to who scores more points, in my opinion, because the Dolphins' offense has proven to be electric. I got Miami winning by one. I think Buffalo will match them blow for blow, though. Minnesota and Carolina, one of two matchups between winless teams heading into this week. I got the Vikings winning this game. I think it's going to take a while for Carolina to learn how to win consistently in this league. I think the Vikings win by four. Philadelphia and Washington. Eagles getting the victory over Tampa Bay. Washington sort of coming back down to reality after losing to Buffalo last week. I got the Eagles winning by 11. Another 0-3 matchup. Once again, Denver and Chicago. I think that the Broncos are better than the Bears. And just based on that logic, I got Denver winning by 3. Tampa Bay, New Orleans. This should be an interesting game. It's going to be very interesting to see how Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay offense responds. I got Tampa Bay defeating New Orleans 21-17. Now, that is going to depend on the health of Derek Carr. I'm going to say that Derek Carr does not play. Due to that shoulder injury, Jameis Winston comes in, and Tampa Bay beats his former quarterback 21-17. Cincinnati and Tennessee, Bengals getting their first win of the season. Titans still winless this year. I think the Titans have sort of come back down to earth, obviously, over the last few years, because obviously Ryan Tannehill was touted as the quarterback of the future for this Titans team. I've got Cincinnati winning this game. I think it's going to be a nip and tuck game, but I think they pull away with their strength of their offense. I think they win by 10. Next game, we got Pittsburgh and Houston. C.J. Stroud, Houston quarterback, getting his first win as a starter after last week defeating the Jacksonville Jaguars. Pittsburgh coming off a win over Las Vegas. I'm going to take the Steelers in a close ball game. I think that Houston is going to be a little bit better than I think people realize now after seeing them through the first few games of the season. They've been competitive in every game that they played. I got the Steelers winning, though, by just one, 24-23. Cleveland and Baltimore matchup of 2-2-1 teams in the AFC North. I picked the Browns to win every game. The only one that hasn't worked was Cleveland. Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson should be a fun quarterback matchup, especially after the way Deshaun played last week. I got the Browns winning. I think that if this game were in Baltimore, I think Baltimore win. I got the Browns winning by two. Chargers and Raiders, LA Chargers and the Vegas Raiders. The Raiders, I think, have come a little bit back down to earth after defeating Denver in week one. I think the Chargers get their second straight win, but I think it's another high-scoring game because every game with the Chargers seems like a high-scoring game, 34-31. San Francisco at home against Arizona. Arizona upsetting the Cowboys last week. Niners getting their third straight win. I think that that trend continues. I think the Niners double up the Cardinals 34-17. New England and Dallas. This is going to be, I think, a defensive slugfest. And it's going to come down to which quarterback makes the biggest play when it matters most. And I think that, in my opinion, it will be Mac Jones. I got the Patriots in an upset over the Cowboys, 17-14. I think their defense makes a couple of bigger plays than Dallas's does. Sunday night game, we will have that broadcast for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ with the NFL recap show at 6:30, kickoff at 7:15. It's Kansas City and the New York Jets. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have now won back-to-back games after getting off to a rough start. Jets have lost two straight and their starting quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I got the Chiefs winning this game. I think it won't be that close, even though I think it will be a little more competitive just by the way of the score. 28-13, Chiefs over the Jets. And finally, the Monday night football game we have this week is going to be the Seattle Seahawks and the New York Giants. And again, we'll have the broadcast for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. NFL Monday preview show at 6:30, kickoff at 7:15. Geno Smith heading back to New York against the Giants. I think Seattle, even though I don't necessarily think that they'll be a playoff team this year, I do think that they are better than the Giants because the Giants without Saquon Barkley is really just a bag of chips, I guess, as Stephen A. Smith would say. So I got Seattle knocking off the Giants, final score 27-20. Those are my week 5 NFL predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We're proud of our history as a century-old Wisconsin institution. Hi, I'm Sue from Crossbridge Community Bank. We stay true to the simple, community-based ideals of a mutual bank that exists to serve its people. That is true for our business customers as well. We want to provide you with everything your business needs to grow and flourish. Stop in to either our Merrill or Tomahawk locations and see what makes Crossbridge Community Bank different from the others. Maybe it's time to make the switch. A bank that puts purpose first. What's your purpose? Let us help you realize it. Visit crossbridge.bank to find out more.
Come on, come on, choose health and motion for you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health in Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health in Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
Back wrapping up the sports queue here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Thank you very much for tuning in to another edition of the sports queue. I very much enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Let's take a look at some Hatchet upcoming events. Coming up also tomorrow, Tomahawk Girls Swim Team with a home dual meet against Colby. Events begin at 5:30. Tomahawk Cross Country have their next invite at Medford. That begins at 4:30. Tomahawk Volleyball has their next home Great Northern Conference match against Medford. That will be at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Our next Hatchet broadcast will be Friday night with Tomahawk Football taking on Coleman in the homecoming game. Fairman Orthodontics pregame show at 6:35. Kickoff at 7 o'clock. Matt Turkowitz will join me in the broadcast booth. And the final broadcast of the volleyball regular season will be on next Tuesday. Tomahawk will travel to Rhinelander. Fairman Orthodontics coaches show 6:40. First serve at 7 o'clock. Keith Hansey will be back joining me in the broadcast booth. Let's now take a look at Week 7 of the Northwoods Football Conference schedule. It actually kicks off tomorrow. Crandon, who's clinched a playoff spot, is in West Iron, Michigan. That'll begin at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time tomorrow, because obviously Michigan being in the Eastern Standard Time. Got Tomahawk and Coleman. That's a big game between two teams, both of them fighting for a potential playoff spot. Crivets, who clinched a playoff spot with a victory over Tomahawk last week, they're going to be taking on McFarland in Hortonville. That'll begin at 7 o'clock. Oconto Falls, who clinched a playoff spot and is currently leading the Northwoods Football Conference. They've got Clintonville at home. Clintonville 3-1 in the conference as well. That gets underway at 7. Now over to the Great Northern Conference. Lakeland is at Ashland. Merrill at Hayward. Medford, who's clinched a playoff berth. They take on Rhinelander on the road. Mosinee at Anago as well. Mosinee has clinched a playoff spot as well. Thank you very much to Melissa Neiman again for joining me on today's show. We'll be back for another edition of the Sports Q next week here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Meantime, I hope you have a wonderful Wednesday and have a sport-tacular day. See ya!
Been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community right here.